Today's program was brought to you by EscapeMaker.com. Visit a farm, escape through the net. Visit EscapeMaker.com for more.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming to you live, as always, from the back of Roberta's Pizza here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You are listening to The Farm Report. I am your host, Erin Fairbanks. Off air, I am the executive director of the Heritage Radio Network. On air, every week on The Farm Report, we talk about food, food production, the people who grow it, and the people who help get it to your plate. And today we are joined on the line by Sydney Phelps from our friends over at Bonnie Plants. Sydney, welcome to the show.
Hey, Erin. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I think it's been almost exactly a year since we chatted last, so nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah, I think it has been. It's been a busy year for sure, not to say the least. Hopefully the guards and everything in New York did well.
You know, from what I've heard, people are like really looking forward to a great gardening season. I think the winter here was super cold and long, so folks are excited to get out and about and get their fingers in the dirt. I was just taking some peruses across the Bonnie Plants website, and you guys are like all tomato everything. I was definitely making my mouth water. What's new on the lineup? What should folks be looking forward to this spring from your team?
Well, I mean, as far as new lineup, talk about product wise, we added a couple of new tomatoes that are determinants that are hybrids, a Charger and a Debut tomato. The Debut is probably one of the better tomatoes that we've seen in our trial garden as far as production. It was just a really good flavor tomato as well. So not only is it an early to get ready for harvest with about 70 days, but it's got a super flavor for you, and it's good for small areas,
yeah,
being a determinant. Probably another one of the big things that we got, you know, Asian cuisine has probably in the past 3 years just exploded, especially, and I'm saying that here in the South, where I'm located at, but across lot more, you know, fusion of flavors between different things, and you know, you see your sushis and different type of Japanese and Chinese inspired dishes going on, that we see that the consumers are trying to take that into their home cooking. So we actually added the shishito pepper this year for stir fries and all those type things for sweet snacking, and it's, you know, it's been really popular, so it's gotten into that whole trend of snacking peppers and stir fries, the Ichabod eggplants, so, you know, the Thai basils and those type of things have really taken off.
That's so interesting. So how do you guys, what is it that kind of development process look like on your end? I mean, is it kind of customers calling in or tweeting in or reaching out because they're like, hey, we want to find these plants, or is it market research? I mean, how do you decide to bring on a new variety?
We really, you know, we've got a great customer service department as well as our web and marketing team that really works together as a cohesive unit. And we see a lot of trends of what customers are looking for. And whenever we, you know, gets to a substantial amount of request, we'll start putting that into our trial garden. We've got an acre trial garden here in Union Springs, Alabama, at our corporate headquarters. And we'll try different varieties out. And then it may be a variety that one of our suppliers who wants us to see that, you know, is really good, that they're getting a lot of popularity out of. But we really look at the drive of what consumers are looking for. And that's, you know, the benefit about Bonnie having 65 locations across the country versus shipping from one centralized facility is we can grow in the climate that our consumers are going to be growing in. Therefore, the plants are hardier, but also the ethnicities. I mean, you can, in the Southwest, chili peppers are extremely popular, so we try to produce more of those there. whereas in New York and the Northeast, heirlooms and hardier herbs and things like that are more prevalent. So we try to stay with that. It really localizes our growing capacities.
Sure, and probably ensures that, you know, novice gardeners like myself aren't going to get a plant that's like not suited to where they're physically at. That was like, I was wondering, you know, you have the test plot there in Georgia, and so how, once something kind of makes it through that like initial run, then do you put it out to other kind of regions of the country to see if it's going to be a good fit in that climate too? Or are there like multiple tests happening at a given time?
There's multiple tests happening at a given time. And then basically what we'll do is our gardener that tends the garden for us here brings them into the office. We do taste testings that are numbered, and you know, the office kind of picks what they, you know, we'll give our comments and feedback from there, and then we'll look at the numbers of the production, you know, because that's another thing, was we want to make sure that anybody that's growing a garden gets the opportunity to be successful, whether they're a novice gardener or a master gardener. The biodegradable pots really help, because the plants, you know, the roots are going to grow through, the plant's going to break, the pot's going to break down in the soil, so there's no transplant shock for a novice gardener, but we want to make sure that it produces it, that they have a enjoyable experience.
Yeah, well, I would say one of the other tools that is new to your landscape this year is the app, Homegrown, which, you know, I've been fooling around with a little bit here in Brooklyn, and I have to say it's kind of awesome. You guys are like answering essentially like all my novice gardening questions. What was the kind of driving force behind like kind of creating an app, and how does this kind of fit into the other tools that you guys provide for people who are getting their gardens going or maybe a little bit further along in the expertise landscape?
We've taken a lot of time in our website, without a doubt. I mean, we've got tons and tons of information on the website, and you know, basically in today's world, everybody's running around with a smartphone. And I mean, let's take into consideration, when I was growing up, I can remember, you know, we'd have to, you know, look for a paper or doing a bibliography for a research paper of where you found your interest. Now you can Google something on your phone. And the generation that we're in now, my generation and the younger generation below that, everything we do is based off of a phone, whether it be searching or apps. So we really wanted to make a garden tool in your pocket. This has got all the information, but it's just in a handier area. You can use it at the store. You can, you know, while you're thinking about your garden, you can go ahead and kind of put a wish list together of what you're looking for. There's so much to do with this app that it's just unreal. And even better than that, it's socially linked to Pinterest and Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of those different accesses. You can share it with your friends as well as the Bonnie family. So you can tag us. You can. It's a easy, user-friendly, multi-purpose tool for gardeners to network.
Yeah, and I have to imagine probably kind of an interesting space for you guys to gather data from customers about opportunities in different regions. I'm thinking, you know, I'm like looking through in the Learn to Grow section, you know, there's a glossary, advice for new gardens, tips and techniques for everything from preparing your soil to choosing the right container. But one of the things that caught my eye was a list of drought busting techniques. And obviously here at the station, we've been hearing a ton about the drought out in California and other spaces in the Southwest. And I'm wondering, do you see like particular gardening challenges on the landscape, and how do folks who are looking to garden recreationally, how are your California consumers kind of being impacted by that, and what are strategies for them to have a successful garden this year?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Aaron. It really is a tough situation, because you look at some of these stage five, you know, drought monitors that they've got going on, where they're not even allowed to water their yards, much less, let's think about the product in the stores. You know, they can't really do a whole lot there, so we have to limit what we can do. But as far as a consumer, you know, there's a lot of safe practices that you can use. Rain barrels is a great idea, you know, to be able to keep some type of moisture, as well as containers. Containers are going to hold moisture. especially with moisture control soils. It'll keep that content in there. Everybody has seen the tricks with using, you know, I forget what you call them, but basically taking a water bottle and a spick and stuffing in the planter, and whenever the plant needs the water, it's going to pull it through there. I just can't remember. I can remember being on a TV, you know, infomercial, the Aqua Falls or something, that where it will, you know, the plant itself will pull the water that it needs throughout that point. But, you know, being a smart about what you're looking for, the app will help you out with that when you're choosing what your peppers or tomatoes. Something that's going to be heat tolerant. We've got a lot of heat tolerant tomatoes. They can stand the heat in hot areas. And short season tomatoes, that's another thing, that it doesn't take as long for them to produce.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Well, kind of thinking about, what to think about when you're making choices around what to grow. One of the other kind of, I think, more whimsical features is the kind of help me choose section of the new app, which kind of directs you to some different ways you might think about plotting out your garden. And I love you have a pizza ingredient list. How did that idea come up?
Well, that actually came up through our raised bed program. We've got raised bed designs on our website. And we wanted to make something that would be easy for novice consumers to find something and catch on and try it, as well as kids. So we was like, okay, let's do a pizza garden. So we gave all the ingredients of what you need to make a pizza that you can grow in a raised bed garden. Same thing with the salad bowls, or spring salad mixes, to Mediterranean gardens for, you know, grilling pork and chicken. All those different flavors in Greek cuisine and other Mediterranean cuisine, you know, just to give people an idea of what they can do, giving them a list of varieties to go with. That kind of encompassed into what we call our tomato chooser or our pepper chooser. We want to make sure that the consumers could find exactly what they were looking for. So with the tomato chooser, it gives them a list of if they want a determinate or an indeterminate, which is perfect for somebody that has a small patio. Or has a lot of space. You know, you don't want somebody getting mixed up that has a small patio or a balcony off of an apartment and they're growing an indeterminate tomato that's going to be 7.5 feet tall. something that's going to be smaller and compact for them, whether they're using it for slicing or sauces, as well as the color for the acidity, you know, the yellows, the pinks, to the deepest dark reds or the blacks even. We really got in-depth with that for the tomato users. And then from that, we kind of got into peppers because, as we all know, it seems like people are wanting things that are hotter and hotter as far as spice goes. So we came up with the pepper chooser, which goes off of Scoville units. So you have the sweet, the medium, the milds, all the way up to the hot and the extreme hots, which is our habanero.
So you can kind of choose your level, choose your own adventure, right, of, like, spiciness.
Exactly, and it gives the consumer an idea of what they're getting into. You know, going to a garden center sometimes can be intimidating, especially if you're not familiar with it. You're trying to make the decision, and that's a great thing about the app is it really answers a lot of your questions before you even get to the store. And once you start your garden and you're planting your garden as well as you're keeping track of it on your app, you can set notifications or reminders. Hey, you need to make sure you water. You need to check for pests. You need to, you know, do some type of plant food or fertilization to the plant. You know, it keeps you up to date. And the beauty of it is, you know, I've planted things in the past to where I planted a couple of different tomatoes and one outperformed the other one, but I lost that pixie tag, so I forgot what I planted.
Right.
Well, this, you can keep track of the harvest. You can keep track of your variety. So next year, when you get ready to go to the store, you know exactly what you're looking for.
I kind of feel like you guys thought of everything.
Our team spent a lot of long nights, and they got a lot of blood and sweat and tears into this app. It has definitely been great, and it's available for download now. And the another great thing about it is it's a free app.
It's free.
It's free. There's no in-app purchases. We're not trying to get anything with you. Once you get on the app is completely free. You set your location. It gives you your weather forecast. It's that simple.
Well, one of the other segments in there, you were talking about kind of pollinators, and I'm wondering if you could clarify, are those, the plants listed in that section, are things that will attract pollinators to your garden, or?
Say that again?
Oh, on one of the sections in the kind of help me choose is called, Butterfly Paradise, and it's beauty and better pollinating for the garden. So then in there they list things like fern leaf dill, curled parsley, flat Italian parsley, pineapple sage. And I'm wondering, are those things that like are going to help me have a butterfly paradise in the back of my house? Really?
Those are going to attract caterpillars that will turn into butterflies, as well as butterflies coming in, parsley especially. Those are attractants to come in. Now, the pineapple sage does great with hummingbirds as well, because of the red blooms. But, yes, those are pollinators where you've got butterflies. It's an attractant. Parsley, I thought something was really going on with my parsley when I first started getting into herb gardening, and it was just getting eaten, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. And I walk out there, and I realize what's going on. It's caterpillar had stuck up and cocooned up and was doing its transformation.
Wow. You're like, lots happening in the garden. Well, I'm just curious, when we're thinking about the plants and the plant varietals that folks can get through the Bonnie team, is the stuff that consumers have access to, how different is it from what if I were to be a commercial grower? Do you guys provide in both landscapes, or are there things like if someone's looking for advice and kind of transitioning to a larger scale or maybe producing for a small market, do they work with you in a different way?
For the most part, they can get in contact with us through the website. I mean, there's support and help there. Ask an expert. They can send their details and information. We can get them in touch with a retailer in their area, depending on the situation, or get them in contact with a growing facility.
So, Sydney, you kind of sit, I think, in this amazing perch to kind of look over the gardening landscape across the U.S. Any kind of predictions for this summer? Bumper crops or things to watch out for or things we should make sure to put in our cart when we are making our plant run this spring?
I think one thing to keep in mind, we had a really, really harsh winter, I know you and most of your listeners are very well aware of. It's looking like it's warming up here now more rapidly. We're in the 90s during days right now during this week. So it's going to turn to a hot summer. You really need to be cautious whenever you're purchasing your plants. Really look at your temperatures overall. Better Boys, for example, I'll use them for example for tomatoes. They're not going to produce, it's called blossom drop, but basically you'll walk out one day and you'll see the yellow flowers where the tomatoes are coming on, and the next day they're gone. That's because of fluctuation in temperature from a high to a low. The tomato cannot sustain it. It can't produce in that area. So what we've got is heat-tolerant tomatoes that are able to produce in this type of weather, especially here in the South, where, once it gets here in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be 90 degrees every day June and July. But they're heat-tolerant tomatoes. There's Amelia's, Solar Fires, Phoenix, Heatmaster. When you see anything that has like a hot look to it as far as a tomato goes, those are going to be great tomatoes that will produce through the summer and ensure that you have a good fall production as well with your vegetables.
Awesome. Well, final question, as we're just about out of time here, but I did want to touch just briefly on flowers and any kind of trends or predictions in the flower space or things that you are particularly excited about.
Unfortunately for us, being in our the work aspect that I'm in, I don't get much time to garden as much as I like. one thing that we, you know, we really dabble just lightly in the flower industry with mostly packed flowers. But I think the one thing that I got most excited about a couple of days ago is we had a trial of some white portulaca, or moss rose, as it's called otherwise. But I was I'm anxious to kind of get that in and see how it looks, because everybody's used to seeing the full color mixed flats of them. So it's going to be something a little bit different that'll contrast well with a project I've got going on.
Awesome. Well, Sydney, thank you once again for joining us. It's been a real pleasure, as always, to get the lowdown and the inside perspective. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Erin. I appreciate y'all taking the time to have us on again. It's always a good time.
Yeah, if folks want to learn more, they can definitely check out the website, www.bonnieplants.com. But I would recommend the app. It's called Homegrown. You can get it through the App Store. As Sydney mentioned, it is free. Lots of great information there, especially if you, like me, are a novice or new gardener. But also, if you're more in the intermediate to advanced stage, lots of good stuff there for you, too. Even if it's just a kick in the butt reminder function, which often we need in these busy days of summer. So thank you so much for tuning in. This has been another episode of The Farm Report. This show, like all 39 of our weekly programs, is available for free. You can find us also on iTunes or through Stitcher Smart Radio. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe. It definitely helps other folks find us. Leave a comment or review if you have something you want to share. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Erin_Fairbanks and would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.